Hi, I'm Sue.
Hey,
Hi,
Sue. Hi, Sue.
Hi, everybody. Good to be here. Really great to hear you, Amanda, and to hear you, Tina. I love our group. My story's different, like they all are, but not so different. I think I'm the closer because I've been hanging around longer than a lot of folks. I mean, there are some folks in the meeting who've been hanging around a lot longer, but I came into these rooms about 25 years ago, and I remember it was 25 years because I was in the program about 6 months before I met my current husband, and we've been together 25 years now. And I knew I was a mess. I knew that I was the problem. I didn't know what the problem was, but I knew I was it. My life was just a mess. I grew up in a family where my mom was a rageaholic. I think there was alcohol in our home, but I more remember alcohol in my grandparents' home than in our home. But the way that we lived was afraid. We lived very afraid of what my mom was going, when she was going to get mad. So I grew up just trying to get gooder. I needed to be a good girl because you were either good or bad in the house. There was no in between. So I guess I was in my late 20s and I'd had a lot of failed dating relationships. And again, this guy had broken up with me and I just knew I knew I was the problem. I was the common denominator. At least I had that squared away. At least I knew I was the common denominator. And I had a friend in the program and she said that I think the program will help you. So, I live 45 minutes away from the Danville meeting. If that gives you an idea of how much this group means to me, I traveled on Saturday, sometimes an hour drive to go to the Saturday meeting. So where I live, and I didn't come to the Danville meeting for probably maybe the first 10 years, 8 or 10 years. But I went to meetings on my side of town and, people talked a lot about let go and let God, and I didn't have a relationship with God. I mean, the relationship that I had with God was from my Catholic school upbringing, and that really wasn't a relationship with God. And I struggled. I sat in those meetings, and I got help. Things got better. I read The Courage to Change. I read as much literature. I devoured as much literature as I could. And even prior to coming to the meetings, I read all the self-help books. I did all of that stuff. But when Amanda was talking about her mom, I remember coming into these rooms and my mother was heavy. My mom was heavy on me. I felt completely responsible for how she felt. I felt completely responsible for everyone and everything. So I started going to meetings, stared at people's feet. Slowly things got better. I found myself a sponsor. And that sponsor was okay for a while. I mean, Things got a little better. She had me do some writing and that was good for me. It was good for me to start. I didn't know how much my head talked. I had no idea that the thoughts that went through my head ruled me, ruled my behavior. I had no idea. So Al-Anon was like my first look at, oh, there's talking going on in there. Who knew? And then let's take a look at what it's saying before I act. But that came way later. So my life did get better. And then I started showing up in the Danville meeting. Started driving out to Danville. And this group did things differently. It was different. I've spent my whole life waiting for someone to show up. I love that Amanda said that, you know, you were waiting for your mom to show up. I've always wanted my parents to show up, somebody to show up, because really I never took responsibility for my life. I was always looking for someone else to come and take care of me, because didn't you see how good I was? I did what you wanted. Isn't that what you wanted? So I led my life based on how you looked at me, whether you gave me a smile, whether you gave me a sigh, and I knew what all of that meant. So when I came into the rooms of the Danville meeting, I got a sponsor, the sponsor I have today. And I remember being very excited to do step four and five. I was angry. I was really angry. And I remember leaving my house when I was 18. I left the house at 18, so angry with my mother because I couldn't stand her. I hated her, but I wouldn't leave her. There's no way I would leave her. And I remember leaving there thinking, I'm never going to be like her. And then here I am, angry. You know, I think back to those early days of my husband's and my relationship, and I was no different than my mother. No different. My husband was a thing I had. We used to call him my cardboard cutout because, you know, you go when you get yourself a husband and then you're supposed to live happily ever after. These are things that you just do. So I got this sponsor and I got to do my four step. And I was so excited because really I was angry. I was very, very angry. And I wrote down all of the things that I was angry about and all the people that I was angry at. And then, wow, it's been 11 years. So it'll be 11 years this summer. Cause I got laid off, from my corporate job in 2009. I think it was June. And, I called my sponsor immediately cause I was so afraid that I got laid off. And she said, what would you do if you weren't afraid? And I said, oh my gosh, I would take 6 months off and I would play with my nieces and nephew and I would ride my bike. She said, then do it. So I came home and I said to my husband, that's what I'm going to do. Okay, great. 6 months. Cool. And in that 6 months, I took that time to go and sit at my sponsor's house every week and do my fifth step. And it was incredible. It was like, I still can't even like, This program so works, like having a sponsor and having somebody like Amanda and Tina said, having somebody that has your back, that knows me and that's willing to put in that time with me. Every week, my sponsor put in this time and I just read my four step. I read every single person that I was mad at and I read it to her and we'd spend time on one person. Sometimes we didn't even get through that person in a whole, you know, whatever time we spent together. And really what came out was I showed up the same in every single relationship. I spent my whole life looking at others. And what I started to see sitting there in that room with my sponsor was that I was the problem. I showed up the same in every single relationship. So I got the same, right? It's that, what's that, showing up and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. There I was. My mom was doing what she was doing. My dad was doing what he was doing. My brothers were doing what they were doing, the whole thing. And I started to see me. And then really there was a lot of empathy. There was a lot of compassion. There was a lot of, I never wanted to be like my mother. And my sponsor said, well, why would you expect to be any different? I never learned anything different. So I'm grateful. There's no one in my family that's in the program. I'm the only one who sought out to do it. I don't know why I sought out to do it. And I'm so grateful that I did because everyone in my life has benefited from it. You know, I'd go to these other meetings and these other meetings, they talk about other people. And in our meeting, we talk about us, right? Like I am the problem. If there is something going on with me, if I'm having a feeling about something or I'm angered or I'm whatever, it's usually not that other person that I'm angry with. And that's been the key for me is taking the tools of the program, calling my sponsor, doing the writing, showing up in meetings, doing this, sharing my story, not always super comfortable for me. But sharing my story and then really getting to see what is that that's driving me, doing the writing around it. And I, you know, really when I came into these rooms, I thought, okay, we're going to do the 12 steps. I'm going to knock out the 12 steps, check the boxes, and then I'm going to graduate and I'm going to be done and I'm going to move on with my life. And that hasn't happened for me yet. I thought I'd be fixed by now and I'm not fixed. But I think what I'm so amazed by is like what Tina says is that it starts out as this thing and then it moves into this other thing. And like, it's just been incredible. So we don't have children, but I have nieces and nephews, because there's two of them. One's just a little further away. But boy, when they were born, it became even more important to me. I'll tell you what, because I listened to these women in these rooms talk about saving their kids. And it became really important to me because my brother grew up in the same house that I did. And now he has these kids and he's raising them in the same belief system that we were raised in. But what was different is, see, Yoshi was 8th grade when they moved away. But those kids were 10 minutes away and they spent a lot of time at our house. And it was wonderful because really my husband and I got to teach them that there was a different way. That there was a different way. But I had to do the work. Because really I grew up scared. And like Tina said, like for me, it's always been really hard to tell the truth because I didn't even know what the truth was for me. I was so busy looking at you to tell me what you wanted from me or how I needed to behave or any of that. I had no idea who I was. None. So doing the work, doing that 4th step and that 5th step, I got to see me. 5th step, I really got to see me. And then 6th step, I spent a lot of time in those repeated humiliations, really looking at my character defects. And I know they talk a lot about in these meetings that like you keep peeling back the layers of the onion. And like, I feel like I've done a lot of work. And really in the last 3 months or something, probably because of being at home and all kinds of other, you know, all that's going on in the world. And I'm finding that I'm at another layer. Like really for probably the past 10 years, I felt like I've been sitting on this fence of my life as I know it, as I grew up, my belief system that I knew growing up and stepping over the other side of the fence into my own life. But there's something about leaving them behind. It's like the hardest thing to take that leap. It feels like I'm falling off of a cliff. And I've heard it in these rooms and I keep doing it because the more I find me, the more going over to this other belief system, it's just not negotiable anymore. Like I've got a situation going on with my brother right now where he's not okay with me traveling during this COVID-19 thing. And he's really clear about it. And the way that our family does it is they retract love or they don't talk to you or there's some price to pay, clearly. So he didn't talk to me for 2 weeks. And really I had to call my sponsor because like it was great because I got really clear on who I am and my brother is not my parent. He doesn't get to tell me how I get to live. Nobody gets to tell me how I get to live. I get to tell me how I want to live. But all those years before, they did. So the part that was so cool is I call my sponsor and it was like, oh, we're not talking about my brother. We're talking about how did I get here? How did I get here in this relationship with my brother where he thinks he can tell me what to do? Oh, there I am. There I am. And really, I want to hear from my sponsor. Here's the thing that you do, and then you do this next, and then that 3rd thing, and we'll be done, and everything will be good again. And it's not that easy. It's not that clean. But I have a much better understanding of who I am and how I want to go forward in the relationship with my brother as a result of doing this work. I call my sponsor. We talk about me. I'm the problem. My brother's doing the same thing he's always done. Nothing different there. So that's what I've gotten out of this meeting in Danville. Like there is a different way to do it. You know, all the meetings that I went to and let go and let God, I couldn't. I had way too many feels going on to just let them go and let them go to something I had no idea what I was letting them go to. I couldn't let them go. I was clenching onto them for dear life. I felt like I needed to be heard. I felt like somebody needed to see me. And in this meeting, I get to be heard. I get to be seen. And really, I don't spend a lot of time talking about them. I want to. I've always explained myself. And really what's happened in the last 6 phone calls with my sponsor is you don't need to explain to me. And it's like, no, I do. I need to tell you the whole story so you know, so you understand that, see, I'm on the right side here. Mm-mm. There is no right side. There is no good and bad and right or wrong and all these boxes and the black and whiteness in which I want to live. There isn't that. So, you know, I thought I would graduate, and really the last few months has brought up a lot of stuff for me. It's this idea of really taking a stand in my own life. I have always been afraid. And there's something about leaving these people behind that I feel like I'm losing. And really, as I keep doing the work, I find out that I'm really not losing anything. I love what Tina said. It's like, I still get to have a relationship with these people. Back before I got into the program, I would cut off my nose to spite my face. Where I can still, I don't do that today. It's great. It isn't black and white. I don't have to make some big announcements anymore. So, anyway, it's just been really good. But really, I thought I would graduate, and I didn't, and here I am, and now I'm at another level, like this other level of, really, it goes back to the core of that house that I grew up in and being afraid, and all roads lead to, I'll use anything to go back to that little alone and afraid place. Because I get something out of feeling like that. I can't tell you how many times my sponsor would say, well, you get something out of it. You know, you might as well go move back up with your parents and crawl in bed with them. And I'd be like, oh. Or, you know, we talk about my behavior and how my behavior was exactly like my mom. And really, that was the great part too, because then I got to make a choice. Who do I want to be versus how I feel? Who cares how I feel? I'm going to have feelings no matter what. Who do I want to be? And how do I want to behave in this situation? And usually my first thought is to behave as that 5-year-old girl with pigtails waiting for my mom to show up. And what I get to with the sponsor and the writing and going to meetings, I get to show up as the adult woman that I am. I started my own business 10 years ago when I left corporate America. I took that 6 months off and I started my own business. And it hasn't been easy. And even just this last week, I had a really hard client. And it's great. I'm back in a situation where we're not talking about the client. We're talking about how do I want to run my business? But I'm afraid to tell the client how I want to run my business because I feel like I owe him because he paid me to do a service. So I had the call with the client this week. I told him how the process was going to go. I offered him an additional call. We had the call this week and it was fabulous. I showed up as the adult businesswoman that I am. I didn't show up as the 5-year-old girl feeling like I owed him something. Way better. That's who I want to be. And the other thing I'll say is, you know, my nieces and nephews are grown now. They're grown. And we've always been available to them. Like, they're my kids. We call ourselves a co-parents. Like, we are co-parents to these kids. Anyway, our niece just moved in 3 months ago. And I was scared. Initially, I was scared. It was the same feeling I remember moving in with my husband thinking, oh God, what doesn't he know about me? And it was that same feeling. Here my niece comes in. But sometimes I still look at her like she's 12. She's 22. She just graduated from college. Anyway, I called my sponsor last week and I'm like, it has been so great. Here this young woman has showed up in our house and she has led the way. She has led the way. And it's been so good for me. And then my husband and I were able to come together and it was like, we had this conversation one night that was like, oh my gosh, I realized that I thought like I had to make this, like she had to feel perfect coming into our house. Like whatever she wanted to eat, I had available to her. Whenever she wanted to be entertained, we would entertain her. Like, so we had this talk about like what we both thought how it was going to be. And it hasn't been any of that. And doing the work in this program, it's something that I carry out into my life, but I have to be really mindful because I am one thought away from moving back to that house of origin. So with my niece moving in, I have been really mindful about my mouth and letting her be an adult in our home. And it's so far so good. So far so good. She got home from work the other night. She came and flopped on the couch with her computer. And she wasn't talking. She wasn't interested in talking. And I thought, all right, I'm going to stay quiet. Because it's really easy when someone comes into the room, it's really easy for me to just start talking. Blah, 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 blah. And it was nice when she was ready to talk and open up and put her PC away, your day and how was your day? And we did all of that later, but like for the first hour. So that's what the program has given me. And then here we are, you know, I'm grateful that this is Zoom because we're in Chico and we're helping my middle niece. We helped her today move into her new home for her senior year in college. And it's really wonderful to be here and be available to those kids and show up for them and really let them know there's a different way to live, because the belief system that they grew up in was the same as the one that I grew up in. But the one that we live in my home is different. And that's the most important thing to me. And there's been dozens of times where those kids have called me when they're in a pinch and they need somebody to talk to, and they call me. And really, that is the gift of this program, because really I've heard people say, you don't get to keep it if you don't give it away. But there's something different, and there's something different, really. If people want it, it's available, right? And that's been the thing. There's always a seat if you say so. Nobody is going to kick you out. I love that Amanda came back, and it was just like a blink. And really, it was wonderful to have her back. So great to see you, right? I always wonder, how do people leave and not come back? Why do they leave? So I thought I would graduate, probably never going to graduate, but there's something different here if you want it. But you have to go get it. Nobody's coming to get me. So there is a different way. And this Danville meeting, like I said, I travel an hour for it. And I'm super grateful for the Zoom meeting and my sponsor. And, you know, it's not always easy doing the work, but it's pretty simple. Like we've talked a lot. It's not always easy, but it's simple. The answer is simple. And then you just have to be willing to put in the work. I needed to be willing to be afraid. I needed to be willing to be bad. I needed to be willing to be all of those things. And, you know, really, here I am 25 years later and still finding out. But like everybody said tonight, I want me. So I'm tired of living looking to them to tell me who I am. It's finally time for me to tell me who I am. So anyway, glad everybody's here tonight. So thank you so much.